You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We return here with another Thursday episode, which means it is a crossover Thursday episode here on the show. We'll be diving into two segments with Locked On Broncos in the second and third segments. In the first segment here, though, we do have a bunch of news to go over. The Ravens, they put out a plethora of stuff on Wednesday, and now just talking about it, obviously the injury report is a very big thing. That'll probably take up most of this segment here before we get into crossover Thursday. It's mostly that kind of, it's injuries. You know, injuries have been a key storyline for this Ravens team throughout the entire 2021 season, even dating back to about a month before. So getting guys back, that's a big storyline here, and just keeping up with who has gotten injured, who practiced, who didn't. I think that's all really super important on this show. So in the first segment, we'll get into, you know, some news, notes, and quotes for the Baltimore Ravens. And then in the second and third segments, dive into a cool crossover Thursday with the Locked On Broncos guys. So before we dive into our content, I want to thank everybody who is subscribed, who is listening, and making us your first listen here today. It's been a crazy wild journey for me here on Locked On Ravens. This is episode 559, at least in audio. And YouTube, it's a little bit less than that. We just got started there. But I do want to thank everybody. It's been great to cover this team. I'm looking forward to do it for a lot longer, and I'm excited for the journey ahead. If you like the content, like the show, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube if you're watching here in video form. And if you're here with us in audio form, be sure to follow the show and turn notifications on so you know when our content comes out. It's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosStriker34 and the Ravens, or the Locked On Ravens personal account at Locked On Ravens. So with all that being said, we're going to dive right in here and let's talk about the injury report. Again, I think this is what's probably going to take up the most of this segment because it is very important to dive into. On Wednesday, a concerning face missing practice. I don't want to put too much stock into it, but I'll just read down the injury report. We'll talk about the players on it and just how it might go for Sunday against Denver. So there are all guys did not participate in this one. There were no limited participants. Deshaun Elliott did not practice because of a quad injury. The safety, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback, did not practice because of a back injury. Pernell McPhee, outside linebacker, didn't practice with a shoulder injury. Ronnie Stanley with his ankle injury did not practice. Alejandro Villanueva, a tackle, did not practice with a knee injury. Sammy Watkins got some rest. He did not practice, the wide receiver there. Derek Wolfe with his back and hip issues, he also did not practice once again, the defensive end. And finally, cornerback Tavon Young, a knee injury, he did not participate in practice. So the big name there, obviously, that there are a couple, but the biggest is Lamar Jackson. And there's been a lot of speculation. Oh, what? How was he injured? How did he get injured? It seems a little bit like Lamar Jackson is taking like a couple more hits. I'm not saying he's taking tons and tons of hits. The film will probably not support that. But there were a couple plays against Detroit where he definitely took a big hit. And look, hits happen in football. It's football. You know, it's a very physical sport. Any player can get injured at any given time. And I know a lot of haters have had a field day with this, saying, oh, he shouldn't have flipped in the end zone, or oh, look, this, he can't sustain his play style. That's not what this is. Lamar Jackson over the course of his career has been very healthy. It's soreness. You know, he is sore. Hopefully the back injury is not anything that's going to linger for him. It seems like everything is fine. Obviously, we'll know more today when the Ravens release their injury report, and obviously Friday as well. I'm not concerned at the moment. I know there was a play in Detroit where Lamar Jackson, I think it was on his 31-yard run. I'm not exactly positive, but I think it was where he ran that ball, and then a big defender came up and kind of planted him a little bit, and so maybe it was that. I don't know. It's kind of hard to pinpoint because Lamar Jackson took a couple hits in the pocket as well, so it's not just always running the football, and he's running, so that's why he's injured. That's not what it is, you know. Again, quarterbacks can get injured in the pocket. They can get injured outside the pocket. Any player can get injured at any time. So hopefully Jackson is back in practice on Thursday here today, and that'll be that. And he's just dealing with some soreness, and everything will be all right with him, and he'll be able to play on Sunday. Right now, again, I'm not super concerned. A player whose injury status is a bit interesting to me is Deshaun Elliott. I'm not entirely sure where he is. He ended up kind of injuring that quad. He was in and out of the game with the Lions and also had the concussion that he sustained in week two. So he's been kind of injured a little bit. And it seems like he might be out for a week or two. I don't know. He could be back at practice today and everything will be fine. He'll play on Sunday. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the injury status is of some of these guys here. So hopefully Elliott will be all right and he's not going to miss a ton of time, if any time. Hopefully he'll be able to suit up in week four against Denver. He's a big piece of Baltimore's defense. The host of Villanueva is an interesting addition as well. Him and Ronnie Stanley both. So the tackles that the Ravens went into the season with in week one, both of them now did not practice. Villanueva, hopefully that knee injury isn't anything that'll hold him out for an extended period of time. Definitely looks more comfortable over there on the left side. And I would hope that he's available because the Ravens tackle depth is already very thin. They didn't really address the need in the offseason a big amount. Tyree Phillips is now on IR. He's a nice swing tackle, right tackle option for them. Ronnie Stanley, obviously, he's probably not playing this week, but some news on Stanley is he's not going for surgery, it appears. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reporting that Stanley's going to continue his rehab instead of kind of going the surgery route. And the hope is that he'll be able to return sooner rather than later. And that'd be big because obviously a lot of people see the performance of Villanueva and of Mekari. And Mekari at right tackle has been great. He's been phenomenal there. Villanueva's had kind of a mixed bag, played really well in week two. Week three, up and down performance. Obviously, this team is healthy, or when they're healthy, Ronnie Stanley on the field, he's going to be out there. You know, when this team is fully healthy, Ronnie Stanley is a starter. He's a key piece of that offense. And Ronnie Stanley at 100%, I mean, just one of the best tackles in all of football. So hopefully he can get there and not rush himself back because it just seemed like he was not 100% against the Las Vegas Raiders in week one. So if Villanueva can't go, and again, we don't know right now, but if he can't go, Andre Smith at left tackle, it'd be tough to kind of put your trust in a guy like Andre Smith, who I know the Ravens like him, but I know Spencer Schultz, friend of the show, talked about him in training camp and just said that he was not impressive whatsoever. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. Hopefully Villanueva is able to play. And then the last few guys, Pernambuco few of the shoulder, the Ravens depth has been stretched pretty thin on the front seven, or at least it was. And then obviously Derek Wolfe with his injury, he's probably not returning for a while. I wouldn't be shocked if he was placed on IR at some point. John Harbaugh said yesterday that he didn't have a timetable, so it looks like it's going to be lingering for a little while. So we'll see. Pernell McPhee, hopefully the shoulder's not a big deal. And then Tavon Young didn't practice, but it seems like he'll probably be okay, barring, you know, not practicing on Thursday, not practicing on Friday. He'll be able to go. Other than that, though, the other big news, the Ravens activate three from the COVID list and two from injured reserve. They activate Brandon Williams, System Adebike, and Justin Houston from the COVID list, and Rashad Bateman and Miles Boykin from injured reserve. Everybody's excited about those moves, and I am too. The front seven definitely stretched thin. I talked about it just a couple seconds ago there. The Ravens were dealing with, you know, they had to call up guys from the practice squad who had barely played at the NFL level. It was kind of that kind of game for the Ravens on Sunday in Detroit. Now with Madubuike back and Williams and Justin Houston, they have depth back there. Jalen Ferguson is now the only player who still remains on that list. And then the two receivers, Rashad Bateman, Miles Boykin, very excited. I know a lot of people are loving Rashad Bateman being back, and Boykin as well. Boykin also can play a really big role on this offense. People have been underwhelmed with him, I know myself included, but he is a good blocker and hopefully can contribute in the pass catching game as well. I wouldn't be shocked if these guys were held out until week five or even week six, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they played in week four. Both were full participants technically in practice. They weren't listed on the injury report after being activated. So that's a good sign. But as they kind of ramp up into game shape, I don't know if the Ravens want to put them out there with just a week of practice and kind of getting them back up into game speed and getting them familiar and everything, getting them, you know, back to what the NFL level is. Or for Bateman, you know, he didn't play in the preseason, didn't go through a full training camp. He kind of, he missed the first three games as well. So he's going to have to adjust. And I think the Ravens might just want to hold him out for a week and see. But if they want him in that game on Sunday and he's looking healthy, he's looking good, the Ravens posted some clips of him running and he looked good, maybe that'll be the debut for Rashad Bateman on Sunday in Denver. So very excited to have those two back. But we're going to head into our first break here. When we get back, we'll be diving into our crossover Thursday with Locked On Broncos. So stay tuned for that. And we will be back soon. But hey, Ravens fans, this is Kevin Oshark with an incredible app who everyone who buys gas needs to know about. And that is Get Upside. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. And we are back. Our second segment here of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens, Kevin Oshryker, your host, still here with you. And we're now going to jump right in to our crossover Thursday with Locked On Broncos. So without any further ado, let's jump right into it right here, right now.
It is crossover Thursday all across the Locked On NFL Network. Locked On Broncos talking with Locked On Ravens. And we're joined by Kevin Oshryker, host of the Locked On Ravens podcast. I'm Cody Rourke, and this is Sarah Benninger of Locked On Broncos. And what a fun and entertaining matchup that we have to break down here today for Sunday, week four action. And Kevin, you know, first off, let's start things off by talking to you about the Baltimore Ravens. An interesting team, to say the least, when you look at week one, an overtime thriller against the Las Vegas Raiders, where it just looked like at the end they were gassed against that high-octane offense that Derek Carr and the Raiders have. Week two, they go in, you know, they have a home game, and they go in and they just demolish the Kansas City Chiefs. Even though it was a shootout, they took advantage. Lamar had a great time. And then in week three, just a different surprise, going on the road to Detroit, and then it's a close game where they have to kick a game-winning, record-breaking field goal in order to come out on top. And you said it before we went on air. They're 10 seconds away from either being 3-0 or 0-3. What has the Ravens season been like for you so far covering the team?
You know, guys, I don't know if there's a word to describe this season. It's been crazy, wacky, wild. I mean, everything. And that's right. This Ravens team is, they could be 0-3. They could be 3-0. They found kind of middle ground at 2-1. But obviously, the injuries have been a huge factor for this team. The Ravens lose every carry, yard, touchdown that they had in their running back room from 2020 with injuries to J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and even Justice Hill. Marcus Peters goes down with a torn ACL. This team has, for the last couple of weeks, had at least 15 players on injured reserve. Now, they're expecting to get a couple guys back at practice this week, but it's been a crazy one so far. And, you know, for everything that's happened, at least throughout these first couple of weeks, a 2-1 record, all things considered, is pretty good right now for this team.
Definitely is. You know, Broncos fans can relate a little bit. In 2015 Super Bowl season was, you know, basically a 6 point or less every single game. You know, 11 wins, 6 points or less. It was one heart attack after another, it felt like, just every week, just hanging on edge. But I'm interested to know, you know, I've been really impressed by a particular rookie on the defense. I'll let you go ahead and talk about him. But man, coming off the edge, Odafe Owe, am I saying that right? I mean, I got so used to calling him Jason, but I love watching this kid play. He's explosive off the edge. He terrorized Derek Carr, man. He made life, you know, kind of tough on our, you know, one of our nemesis, Derek Carr. So I enjoyed watching that. Definitely wanted a different outcome in this game. Cody and I were Ravens fans for a day. But talk about this defense and in particular that explosive rookie.
Yeah, Odafe always had to step up definitely in this season so far. The Ravens signing Justin Houston was a huge move. You know, he really boosts this Ravens pass rush. But, you know, they need other guys. It can't just be Justin Houston. And always so far, a lot of people labeled him as a project coming out of Penn State. Obviously, no sacks in 2020, which was a pretty big storyline for him. But it seemed like he was just like a hair away or a fingernail away from getting to the quarterback a lot. He's a disruptor, plays the run really well, has freakish athletic traits. And now we've seen those athletic traits kind of translate into NFL production, where he has that forced fumble against Clyde Edwards-Helaire in week two that really turns the tides of that game and is able to put Lamar Jackson and that offense in a situation to win the football game on that 4th-and-1, which, you know, was a whole other journey in itself. But Owe gets his first career sack in the NFL in week one against the Raiders. So takes no time kind of putting that no sack narrative to bed.
he's someone who's had to step up in a big way. The Ravens did not have Justin Houston last week and did not have another outside linebacker in Jalen Ferguson due to them being placed on the reserve COVID list. So overall, Owe has had to step up in a pretty big way. A lot of people maybe thought that it could have taken a couple years for him to really contribute, but he's already stepped up in a big way over the first couple of weeks.
Well, I call him a no way, Owe, you know, for some of the plays that he had there. But yeah, I agree with you. His athletic traits and explosiveness, something that stands out on film. Well, there's another player that's explosive, stands out on film. I don't think I really have to say who he is, but he plays quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, just such a fun talent to watch. Ever since we saw him really enter as a rookie, I mean, people were trying to figure out, how do you stop Lamar Jackson? And I think that's still a question right now that defensive coordinators are saying. Now, Vic Fangio earlier this week said it's like Barry Sanders is playing quarterback. Like, that's what it's like playing against Lamar Jackson. Now, the question I think that many people have had about Lamar and his evolution as a QB is making sure he can evolve as a passer, which we've seen them do that in the last couple of years. Now you have Sammy Watkins, who comes over from the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos have familiarity going up against him, a big-bodied wide receiver. Then you have Marquise Hollywood-Brown, who is just a prolific playmaker, struggled with a few drops. Now, in this matchup, particularly against the Broncos secondary, how do you see maybe the passing game trying to get going here for this Ravens offense? Where, look, last week the Jets couldn't even pass the ball, and they couldn't run the ball against Denver. What challenges do you think that presents for Lamar and company?
Yeah, Denver has a great secondary, and the Ravens are going to have to pass the ball a little bit to win this football game at least. And we saw what the Ravens could do with more of a passing game script as opposed to a rushing one in week three. The Lions really keyed in on the run. And Lamar Jackson, you know, the stats will show 16 of 31, 287 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But you mentioned it there, the drops were huge. Marquise Brown has three touchdowns pretty much glanced off of his hands. So the stat line could have looked a lot better for Lamar Jackson. But against this Denver secondary that has plenty of talented playmakers, Rashad Bateman is expected to return to practice this week. I don't really see him playing. You know, I think they're going to want to ramp him up into game shape and maybe put him on the field in week five. So they're going to have to rely on Brown to have a bounce back performance. Sammy Watkins as well. Mark Andrews, you know, this could be a big Mark Andrews game. The Broncos have some guys who could run with him, but you know, the Ravens, a couple of years, or at least for the last couple of seasons, we've seen, all right, who's going to be the receiver? Is it going to be Marquise Brown's week or is it going to be Mark Andrews' week? And then they've kind of moved away from that because now they have a lot more talent in the backfield. Lamar Jackson also kind of taking what he's given a little bit more, checking down to running backs, which I think has been a pretty big evolution in his game. So he'll take the short stuff as opposed to trying to make things happen. So against the Denver secondary that has playmakers, a lot of guys are going to have to step up. But Jackson has thrown the ball well so far through these first couple of weeks. And he's on pace for over 4,000 passing yards for any passing yard guys out there. So he's doing a lot more with the football throwing. And he's also that threat on the ground as well.
He absolutely is. I love watching Lamar Jackson play the game. He's just so much fun. One of the most efficient passers in the game. Crazy enough, I mean, the Ravens have been at the bottom of the league for a few years in terms of passing attempts, and yet somehow almost league leaders in touchdown passes. So doesn't get much more efficient than that, right? So I'm interested to know what your thoughts are about attacking Teddy Bridgewater. You know, we talked a little bit about specifically Odafe Owe, but how about that Ravens coverage unit going up against Teddy Bridgewater, one of the most efficient passers in the game right now himself, one of the league leaders in completion percentage, QB rating. He's just taking good care of the football, and this Ravens secondary we know likes to be aggressive. So talk about that secondary and how you think they're going to attack Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, well, not even just a secondary. This whole defense is super, super aggressive. One of the highest blitz rates in the NFL. I mean, against Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense, I'm sure it hurt them to not blitz as much as they wanted to because you just can't blitz Patrick Mahomes and win most of the time. But the secondary has suffered a couple of losses. I mentioned Marcus Peters. He's somebody who is a huge part of what the Ravens do on defense. His playmaking ability is something that really can't be replaced. So they've had to kind of patchwork this unit together a little bit. Marlon Humphrey's still one of the best in the league. You know, he can probably match up on a couple guys on this offense. I'd assume it probably will be Courtland Sutton for a lot of the game. But, you know, Tim Patrick was also involved, so that might be a matchup for Anthony Averett, who has kind of stepped into Marcus Peters, that role that Marcus Peters played. And he's played really good football so far. In the back end, Deshaun Elliott, right now, we don't know a ton about his injury. It could be a couple weeks for him. The safety, Chuck Clark, had a really nice game as the other safety. He's kind of the heart and soul, the heartbeat of that defense, or at least one of them. He wears the green dot, really good communicator. The Ravens love blitzing, though, and I keep going back to blitzing because it's not just, you know, they'll blitz both their linebackers and they'll put four at the line and then guys will come off the edge. They will put like nine guys at the line and say, guess who's coming? And then on one play, they'll send everybody. And on another play, they'll drop back all but three. So defense is so hard to predict. Now, Bridgewater, he's been around the league. He's a very smart player. He knows, he's able to identify, and he has weapons around him. Now, obviously not the weapons that he started the year with, unfortunately, but still, he has enough to go out there. The Ravens have been a bit of a porous defense so far. I think part of that does have to do with all the injuries and new faces, but I think the Ravens are going to try to blitz Teddy Bridgewater, make him a bit uncomfortable, have him roll out a bit and see what he can do there and make him beat them that way.
Well, I'm excited to see how the matchup really pans out. That's going to be one big key to the game. And we're going to flip the script coming up here in just a moment. Kevin's going to ask Sarah and I a bunch of questions about the Broncos and maybe how we can look at this matchup a little bit more in depth. But before we do that, folks, let us tell you about the two sponsors of today's episode, Crossover Thursday. It's our good friends over there, rockauto.com and betonline.ag. Now with rockauto.com, if you need anything for your vehicle, they have everything. Literally, their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle based on year, make, model. You get to choose the brands, specifications, and even the prices that you prefer. Not to mention prices at rockauto.com. They are always reliably low, whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer. Do you need something for your vehicle now, or are you working on a project in the garage? RockAuto.com has you covered. Not to mention they make it easy for you because they send everything that you order directly to your doorstep. I've personally bought several things, from a sun shield to keep the UV rays out of my leather black interior seat of my car. It's like a sauna every time I get in. I've also bought a brand new steering wheel cover because the sun has also melted the leather that I have on my steering wheel. So rockauto.com came in clutch in the fourth quarter. They sent me everything that I needed. So I want you to check out rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Lockdown Broncos or Lockdown Ravens in there. How did you hear about his box? So that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And our good friends over there, betonline.ag. We are approaching week four of NFL action, and betonline.ag is the number one source for all things professional football and college football every single week. And not to mention, with a new updated site and interface, they make it easy for you to find out the newest odds, the latest props, and all the contests that are out there at betonline.ag. And we want you to go there right now to the website or use your mobile device to pull up the betonline.ag app today and sign up today. And make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% deposit match bonus. That's almost initial, the double your first deposit. You get that back, betonline.ag. So check it out today. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Kevin, I'm going to turn the keys to the car to you, my friend. Obviously, a lot of great insight about the Ravens, but let's take a look at it from another angle for both of these teams, man. The floor is all yours.
Yeah, guys, Cody, Sarah, I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this one. I was telling you guys off screen. First of all, before we talk about football, the Denver Nuggets are going to do something this year. Let me tell you, I am a Denver Nuggets fan, and Nikola Jokic did deserve that MVP. He is not the worst MVP in league history. I heard that a lot. That's some bogus. But we have some football to talk about here. A good matchup, I think, between these 3-0 Denver Broncos, the 2-1 Baltimore Ravens. And first, I have to ask about the quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater, I think, has been a great addition to this team. A lot of people maybe wanted Drew Lock to succeed in this offense, but it just hasn't happened so far. And Bridgewater's been a guy who has done a lot of good things so far over the first three games for Denver. So what was the initial reaction to the Bridgewater move when the Broncos made it? And has it really lived up to expectations and honestly gone far beyond that?
Yeah, you know, I would say that both Sarah and I, like, going through the process watching the preseason games, I think Sarah and I both thought Drew Lock was probably going to be named the starter, but we also heard rumblings as to why maybe Teddy would be the guy, and Teddy didn't buckle really under pressure. Drew Lock had a rough final two preseason games, and nothing really due to his own fault. It's really the offensive line, and he took a couple of sacks because of pressure on the inside. And I think we each wanted Drew Lock to succeed, because for the Broncos, we looked at it as, okay, they made this investment to go get a young quarterback in round number two. You got to give him every opportunity to go out and do it. But I tell you what, both Sarah and myself, I'm comfortable speaking for him on this because we talk about it on the podcast. We're very blown away. We've been very surprised by how Teddy has been so far through three games, not only just from the quarterback efficiency standpoint, just from a leadership standpoint and how it's propelled other guys around the Broncos. It's really got this unit. It's got every guy believing on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. There's just this different vibe right now with the Broncos, and I think it's really from a leadership standpoint and his play is supporting that, that I don't think that Drew Lock has just yet. Not to say he can't have that, but it gives the Broncos, I think, a new dynamic right now that's giving them life so far to kind of inspire this 3-0 stretch. But we've been blown away by Teddy's performance and his poise so far through three games.
Yeah, and honestly, guys, I have too. And speaking of a new dynamic, the Broncos run game right now, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, two guys who really complement each other well. And I know a lot of the people coming into this year said, all right, this is Melvin Gordon's backfield, but as the year goes on, people will start to see more and more of Javonte Williams. And look, honestly, I think both have looked pretty good, pretty impressive. Gordon has 42 carries compared to Javonte Williams in his 39. Do you expect that split to kind of continue that way and have it be pretty even? Or would you expect, at least in this game, that maybe Gordon gets more run, or is it going to be Williams who you think might get the brunt of the work?
I think they're going to continue to really split it evenly. You know, we saw some really good stuff from both guys in the first three games. In the third game against the New York Jets, though, we saw a couple of pretty big errors by Javonte Williams, a couple of rookie mistakes. So I think that he's kind of gotten so hyped up. You know, he's been compared by a number of people, including some in the Broncos front office, to guys like Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara. I mean, every name has been thrown out there. Vic Fangio even said, you know, you could trust this guy in any situation in the game. And he hadn't seen that since Edgerrin James. So shout out to all the 90s kids who loved watching it, Edgerrin James and Ricky Williams back in the day. But man, I mean, the pressure on him has been tremendous. And the Broncos have a couple injuries on the interior offensive line right now, and they were struggling a little bit to kind of figure out. It looks like their blocking scheme against a lot of loaded boxes. Teams are daring Teddy Bridgewater to throw the ball. And of course, he's done a pretty good job of that. But at the same time, it's been a bit of tough sledding for the running back. So I would say up to this point, Melvin Gordon has looked quite a bit better than Javonte Williams. Although Javonte has shown some really nice things in terms of creating yardage after contact, which is what we know coming out of North Carolina. We knew he was going to do that well. We saw him bowl over the entire Miami Hurricanes defense on one play. So we knew he was going to bring that to the table, and he has. But it's been the Melvin Gordon, you know, running back one, that's been proven accurate at this point.
Yeah, no, definitely. And honestly, when looking at the Broncos' weapons, Gordon and Williams, both great weapons to have in the run game. But in the pass game, look, the Ravens know all about injuries. And I know the Broncos are kind of going through a few right now. Jerry Jeudy with a big injury himself. KJ Hamler now gone. The Broncos still have a couple of pass-catching weapons. Obviously, Courtland Sutton is there. Tim Patrick, Noah Fant. The Ravens have had a ton of huge tight end matchups. Week one, it was Darren Waller. Week two, Travis Kelce. Week three, TJ Hockenson. And now they get Fant in week four. So all those weapons on the Denver offense, although they are down a few, has Teddy Bridgewater kind of established a big connection with any of these guys so far? Who would you expect the Ravens to kind of key in on, or hope, or, you know, for everybody who was rooting for the Baltimore Ravens, hope that the Ravens key in on? And who are a couple guys on the offense that kind of fly under the radar in terms of weapons on this offense?
Yeah, it's been very balanced by Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, week one, Noah Fant had various targets, but Jerry Jeudy was probably the most targeted wide receiver that week against the Giants. He had six catches, 72 yards before his injury. Week two, we see them really kind of force feed Courtland Sutton, who had 12 targets. He had nine catches and, you know, over 150 yards receiving through the air. And then last week, we saw Tim Patrick get five targets. You know, he had five catches, 98 yards through the air. So it's just like, from the last 3 weeks, we've seen them go to various players. So it's like, who are the Broncos going to go to this week? I think that regardless of Courtland Sutton, he's obviously a big-time playmaker. Tim Patrick has emerged as that reliable playmaker for the Broncos. And then you have Noah Fant, but keep an eye on Albert Okwuegbunam this week, the Broncos' number two tight end. If they go more 12 or 13 personnel, we're going to see him involved more as a pass receiver. And he's had some bits and pieces, some spurts where he's been used as a receiver in week one, week two, and a little bit last week. But maybe they increase the load a little bit this week for him, depending on what the Ravens do. If they blitz very aggressively and go some cover zero, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Broncos get the tailbacks, either Melvin or Javonte, going in the passing game there in terms of most targets. It's certainly possible. I mean, if we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers throw the ball to Najee Harris that many times, he had over 100 yards receiving on check down Ben Roethlisberger. Look, I think depends on how the Broncos offense plays this Ravens defense. it could be anybody right now. And I think that's the benefit of all the depth that the Broncos currently have.
Yeah, depth is such a good thing at the NFL level, especially when a team does have to deal with so many injuries. But guys, I did want to get a defensive question in here and just talk about how impressive it's been through 3 weeks. You look at the Denver stat categories on defense, you see one, two, three, you know, they're like top five in almost everything pretty much. They've given up less points through three games than the Ravens gave up in one to the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, and also in their week one game. How impressed have you guys been with this defense so far? And what are a couple strengths and weaknesses that Ravens fans should know about heading into this game?
Well, been extremely impressed. You know, when the Broncos hired Vic Fangio as their head coach, you go back and look at pretty much any defense that he coached over the course of the last decade plus, and it took about 2 to 3 years for those units to go from maybe the bottom of the league before he got there to being in the top five, top three, and not three, you know what I'm saying? So he's definitely coached this unit up, and he's got a lot of guys who, like you talked about, the safety for the Ravens who has the green dot, who communicates extremely well. The Broncos lost their green dot guy in Josie Jewell, but they have a ton of players that communicate extremely well, especially on the back end. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, they play a too high safety shell that they just kind of alternate between who comes up and who attacks the running game. They've got cornerbacks, Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, Pat Surtain. All those guys are so smart, and they play smart. They don't give up a lot of big plays. I mean, even the big plays that Kyle Fuller has given up, he's kind of tripped a little bit on the back end of those things. So these guys are playing exceptionally well at all levels. Von Miller is back. He's healthy. He looks explosive. He looks like the Von Miller from 2015 when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, which is crazy because like Von Miller, I'm turning 32 this year. He's a 32-year-old man. So it's awesome to see him flying around out there. Even without Bradley Chubb, Malik Reed has done a tremendous job for 2 years. So the weakness in this defense is probably going to be where the void from Josie Jewell being out. Justin Cernot is a young player. The Broncos still have high expectations for him. They expect him to come in and play well. They did even when he was a fifth round rookie coming out of Wake Forest. But that's probably going to be your best bet is say the play breaks down. Lamar Jackson is looking for guys in the scramble drill. Can Justin Cernot keep up with Mark Andrews? Can he keep up with the slot receiver or whoever he's covering? Those types of things. Or if Lamar breaks the pocket, can a guy like Justin Cernot or Alexander Johnson, the other inside linebacker, can they track him down? I think that's going to be your best bet in terms of finding a weakness in this defense. Is that the initial coverage looks good? How does Lamar Jackson change the game? As we know, he always does, breaking the play down, getting guys out on scramble drill, and making plays himself with his legs.
Yeah, this defense is one that will be a tough test for the Ravens offense for sure. But finally here, guys, quickly, I do want to get a final score prediction here from both of you in this game. So when you think about who will win this game, obviously, you know, this is a tough one to predict, at least in my opinion. Who do you guys think wins this one and why?
Man, it's tough to say because for me, I'm a big believer in not doing score predictions because I believe there's so many variables to this game. It's really hard to predict. So I'm going to kind of reshape it a little bit. If the Broncos are going to win this football game, they have to find a way to limit Lamar Jackson's ability to make some big plays, whether it be on the ground, making sure that they're not getting too far upfield where he could just tuck it underneath the A-gap and dip and run for a big gain or get outside. Or if you fall asleep in coverage and he floats it in over the top, I think there's going to be a defensive game for both teams. I think that the Broncos defense will be tough against the Ravens. And I also think that the Ravens defense is going to make life difficult for the Broncos. This could be a slobber knocker. I don't expect it to be a high scoring game, but if the Broncos are going to come out on top, they have to do those things.
Absolutely. You know, I don't usually predict the score either, but I think it's fun to think about. The Broncos have been in scoring position a lot, dating back to the preseason. Doesn't matter who was running the quarterback position. Doesn't matter any of that. These guys consistently have gotten into scoring position against everyone they've played. And we know they've played a murderer's row of teams dating back to the preseason, right? It's been just one juggernaut after another every week for this Broncos team. But I think that offensive efficiency and success will continue in this game. I do think we'll see a bit maybe a struggle initially with the blitzing. But I think that Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a big game in front of the home crowd. He's kind of coming off of I wouldn't call it necessarily a dud, but I'll say, 24-17. I hate even putting that much on our defense, but I respect Lamar Jackson. So I'll say 24-17 Broncos, the home team in this one. You know, that's It could come down to whoever has the ball last. Could be one of those games. And of course, if that's the case, we don't want the Ravens getting the ball last, because we know Justin Tucker could kick a field goal from the 1 yard line on the other side of the field in the mile high air. So we don't want any of that. We don't want to see that. We want to keep them just like the Broncos have the Jaguars and the Jets. Don't even let the Ravens get into the red zone, you know, for this game. So that's the hope. That's the plan. And I know that that's what Cody was hearing, you know, before the show. That's the plan. Beat the Ravens, outscore them somehow, one way or another.
Yeah, this game is so close for me. And yeah, you know, Justin Tucker could be hitting an 80-yard field goal by the time this one is over. But I don't know. I this was a game I had the Ravens winning before the injuries happened. Obviously, injuries do happen, and the Ravens are in the situation now that they are. I'm going to say Ravens by literally one, 24-23. I don't expect it to be a super high-scoring game either. I think a lot of people put Denver's record right now on the teams they've played. I don't view it that way necessarily. You know, it takes a lot to go 3-0 for any NFL team, regardless of who you play. So, you know, yes, you know, this is a big test for Denver, but they've gone 3-0 for a reason. But I think the Ravens, you know, hopefully getting some of their front seven guys back will really help in the run game. And then obviously Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson, and having Justin Tucker doesn't hurt either. So I'm going to go 24-23 here, Baltimore, but this game really could go either way. But I think that's all that we have here on our crossover edition here of both Locked On Ravens and Locked On Broncos. For Cody and for Sayer, I'm Kevin signing out here. We'll be back with our respective shows tomorrow. So stay tuned for that, and we will see you tomorrow.